The U.S. labor market is booming with an unemployment rate at a 17-year low and wages starting to finally push higher. But a report released Wednesday showed the solar industry is sitting out of the hiring boom despite promises alternative energy would be a middle-class job creator. That's the first annual drop since the Solar Foundation started keeping records 7 years ago.
A new cryptocurrency launching in Israel uses diamonds to back it. Carats.io, in partnership with the Israeli Diamond Exchange, are launching this cryptocurrency that they say is the second revolution after the internet. Its uniqueness, as opposed to Bitcoin, which is more volatile, they're saying that it's backed by something more tangible. It'll be quick, transparent, well-documented, and it'll get rid of cash, its founders say.
He can put a roadster into space, but can he deliver the Model 3 fast enough for investors? Tesla on Wednesday said it is sticking with CEO Elon Musk's revised production targets for the newer, cheaper electric sedan after pushing them back twice. Production delays have dogged Tesla, which churned out less than half of the Model 3's analysts expected in the fourth quarter. Tesla also posted its worst ever quarterly loss, nearly $750 million, and warned that it's spending more money this year.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's February 8th and 5:10 in the morning. We're happy you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. You heard in the opening montage a couple of our top stories this morning. Surprise in the solar energy field there with not many jobs created. Not a surprise when you hear the administration of Donald Trump saying he is pushing more fossil fuels than clean energy in some of his plans going forward. It'll be interesting to see if solar decides to start hiring at some point and whether any new incentives will be put into that area. You remember earlier this year, too, tariffs on solar panels coming in from China. The show is a good one this morning for you. In a minute, we're going to bring in our Thursday thought leader. Yep, it's Thursday. John Horton is here from Associated Bank. We have some mortgage talk for you and some homeowner talk for you. And a little bit later on in the program, Seamus Toomey will be here. He'll be forming one of the co-founders of the Block Club. And this former DNA info editor will talk to us about how they're bringing back neighborhood news. That's coming in our second segment this morning. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are down 68 points this morning, an implied open of minus 132. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P are flat this morning to negative. Crude oil is at $61.43 a barrel, which is down about 36 cents. Around the globe, markets are all lower in Europe, with the FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC all off about 1% this morning. And in Asia, markets there are mixed, with the Nikkei up almost 1%, 245 points. The Hang Seng is up 128 points. A couple of stories that we're watching for you. One, a new report says that the money from the tax cuts going to companies repurchasing their stock, buybacks now at $97.2 billion since January 1st. By comparison, that number dwarfing how much money has been paid out in bonuses and pay raises and other things to actual employees, that estimate is at $2.5 billion. Senate leaders have brokered a long-sought budget agreement that could shower the Pentagon and domestic programs with an extra $300 billion over the next 2 years. Senators hope to approve that measure today and send it to the House for a vote to avert another government shutdown. And Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Chicago says Canada will not be pushed into a redo of the North American Free Trade Agreement if it does not benefit Canada. Speaking at the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics yesterday, Trudeau said Canada will engage thoughtfully and constructively in talks with the U.S. and Mexico. Those talks have, if my count is correct, one more meeting on the renegotiation scene. It is Thought Leader Thursday. John Horton is here from Associated Bank. John is Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank, specializing in construction loans, jumbo mortgages, and refinancing. He's our go-to guy on mortgages and home ownership. And John, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good to see you again.
Let's talk about mortgage rates.
Okay.
Mortgage rates, I guess, by all indications, will be going up this year, maybe 3, maybe 4, depending on what happens with the Federal Reserve. Where do you think the rates will end up by the end of the year, by mid-year?
You know, it's that crystal ball theory, Steve. On Monday, things were good. Tuesday, they were fine. The market started the 1,100-point drop. That was Monday. The 1,100-point drop on Monday. Rates went down. Anytime there's a rate change, up or down, we get an email from our secondary market group, and it said rates have worsened, which is pretty much what we've only received over the last year. Monday at about 2 o'clock, we got a rates have improved email. No one believed it. It's not April Fool's Day. Rates actually improved due to the 1,100-point drop in the stock market. It's one of those things where it's really difficult to assess rates, as you know, as everybody knows. It's a day-by-day trend. It goes back to the conversation with the banker. It goes back to getting pre-approved. I know that really doesn't answer your question. If you were to read and believe what all the analysts say and the soothsayers, they're talking rates being this time next year a half a point higher. So probably scraping around 4.625 to 4.75. Now, when they quote rates in the paper, they always gauge it on the 30-year fixed conforming. So it's not a blanket rate. They're not going to get into jumbos or ARMs. It's just kind of a point of reference where your rates will be. But again, things could happen. Bad things in the stock market mean good things for mortgage rates. So one of those things you really do need to have that relationship and keep your finger on the pulse to know where the rates are going.
And the predictions from all the other big economists say the same thing. Rates are going to stay in the 4% area this year. That's still good historically. And if you're thinking about buying, get off your butt, right?
Yeah, you know, sitting on the fence doesn't do anything but give you splinters. The problem is with the low housing inventory, the longer you wait, your chance of missing that house that you want, two things. One, rates might be higher. Two, the house is going to be gone. So getting in touch with someone, working out your payments is key. Rates go up by an eighth, depending on your mortgage amount, may not be that bad, but you won't know until you sit down and get it done. But really, getting off the fence and looking at the house you want, you really shouldn't wait for those two factors, low inventory and the possibility of rising rates.
A couple of things to consider here. One is, and I'm one of those firm believers that my home is my investment.
Correct.
Didn't move at all during the crash this week of the stock market. I still have my equity there. It's a good investment, right?
You know, it is a good investment. And people say it's an investment in your bricks, but it's a long-term investment. You can't get in to buy a house expecting a huge increase in a short amount of time. Years and years ago, that could have been possible if you were flipping a home. Realtors always tell you you want to buy a home with the thoughts of selling it, meaning, could I sell it? Does it have curb appeal? Is the homeowners association too high? But if it's a long-term investment, you really can't look at the market every day because you'll drive yourself crazy. You lock in on your rate, be it an ARM or a fixed rate product, and just ride that investment. Get a good deal. Do your research. Get a good realtor. Get a good attorney. And get a good lender. And you should be good to go.
On that notion that you buy it to sell it, is now a good time for people who are in their places already, maybe for 5 or 7 years, to think about putting it on the market?
I think if they're ready to move, it is. Again, going back to the low inventory, the housing shortage is as short as it's been, I think, since 2009, according to the National Association of Realtors. So if you're thinking about selling, same thing. Get off the fence. Don't think too long because you might, in a year, there might be plenty on the market and rates might be low. So if it's something you're ready to do, we have a lot of people now that put it on the market. Houses have sold and they have nowhere to go. So you may be in that situation where someone can come in, quick close, quick mortgage close. You better have somewhere to go, because if you don't have an alternate plan, that you have a house in line, you can live with relatives, you have an apartment. We have a lot of buyers right now that are living in apartments just because they couldn't pass up on the deal that they got on their home. They took the deal, and now they're out looking.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you'll end up at Motel 6.
Exactly.
I think they still leave the light on for
you
there.
They do.
John, I want to make sure that our listeners, when we talk about the shortage of places, the supply, are we talking about houses or condominiums or both?
You know, I think it really depends on where you're at, Steve. Again, if we look out the windows here at WGN, you see condos going up everywhere. I think the shortage in the city may be a little less than the shortage in the suburbs.
Those cranes in the air foretell a future where that might be what a market that has too many units to sell, or Are people buying all of these condos?
You know, the pre-sales on those, it's an interesting question because a lot of banks and lenders, when you go to purchase a condo, they look for pre-sale requirements. Some banks don't want to be the first in. They consider it a risky move. They want so many sold before they'll jump in the game. What we've seen on some of these buildings that don't even have roofs on them is the pre-sales are really moving quick. I think a lot of it is these companies moving into the city, the hopes that some of these companies will move into the city, and the millennials jumping in and want to take advantage of it.
Let's talk about those millennials. Another study says that the millennials are becoming the home buyers. They're becoming a strong customer base for you, I bet, too. And it varies depending on what state. It's stronger in one state versus another. What are you finding about the people that are coming to your place?
Millennials are starting to buy. I know we talked about 6 to 8 months ago. They are a huge, huge home buyer. The average home purchase for a millennial was $450,000. You know, they're getting off the couch. They're realizing the value in home ownership. And they're organized. You know, the big thing about getting a mortgage is we always tell people it's not your grandmother's mortgage. You need to have all your documentation. It can be a lengthy process, depending on what you provide to your lender. Millennials come in with everything, generally on their phone, and they email it to you from your desk. But they're buying homes, they're buying nice homes, and they have the assets to back it up.
One of the studies I think we're pointing to here, or one of the research projects, NerdWallet recently did a survey. NerdWallet, I just love that name. But 85%, almost 82% of the millennials say that they're close to buying a home in the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's huge. And then on top of that, they are also saying buying a home is a bigger priority than it's ever been. So you take that 82%, they all talk to their friends. I always say people hang out with people like themselves. You're a millennial buying a home, guess what? Your friend's going to start looking. So besides being a great networking opportunity, 82% is a big number. It's a huge number.
It is. And we're talking about when we think millennials, 18 to 34-year-olds. And they're saving, too, apparently. They've already started putting away money for a down payment. What is the average time that it takes to save for the down payment, let's say, on a $200,000 or $300,000 home?
You know, I'll tell you what, that is one of the biggest misconceptions in the mortgage world. You can purchase a home with 3% down if you're FHA, 100% financing if you're VA, or as low as 5% for a conventional. It really is. We talked to several people. They were going to wait till they had 20% down. 20% down avoids private mortgage insurance, but if you're looking to get into a home, you can easily buy a home with 5% down.
Part of the story is where millennials are doing this buying and where the affordable markets are for them. I found a report that put West Virginia number one. Indiana was in the top 10. Illinois wasn't in the top 10 of that one list. That was according to USA Today. What would make one state more affordable than another? Just the geography or...
I think it might be the geography and also the taxes. You know, you're looking at a lot of the counties and the municipalities in West Virginia and Indiana that have minimal, very low taxes. So people also have to remember, besides your principal and interest, you have your homeowner's insurance and you have your property taxes. So in some cases, your property taxes could be $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, or they can be $300 a month. And with a lot of the millennials with the opportunity to work from home, you don't need to be close to an office anymore.
Indiana was number four on this list. Iowa was number five. Wisconsin, Illinois, not in the top 10 of that survey. Let's talk about some tips for mortgages. I know we've talked about this before, and you mentioned a little earlier, the rate and the length of the loan. Don't rush into one of these short-term loans. Make it a long-term loan with a low interest rate.
You know, there's a couple ways to look at that. Again, clients will come in that have kids in college. They have 4 years left in college. They know they're going to sell. They know they won't be there. You wouldn't want a 30-year fixed at 4.25. You'd want a 5-year ARM at 3.75 if you know you're not going to be there. You do have people that like to gamble. It could be a cash flow issue. You could have a borrower that lives on bonuses and commissions. Some months are great. Some months aren't great. So it's a cash flow, so I want to keep my principal and interest a little lower. It's about timing. It's about planning if you can, and then you have people that say, I don't care. I want a 30-year. I never want to worry about my rate. I want to know what my payment is. On the flip side, some of our refinances now are people that are in 30, knowing they're going to be out in 3, and do a 3-year ARM at 3.375. So it really comes back to that basic conversation. Doesn't cost you a nickel, but could save you a lot of nickels in the long run.
I've talked to a couple of people I know in the last month or so. They've paid off their mortgages completely.
Bad idea, Steve.
And that's what I kind of thought, too. And I don't know, I think they were bragging when they told me they had done it. And I guess congratulations, but... I keep coming back to what you said before. That's a bad thing to do, bad idea.
You know, not only is it bad for me and my family, Steve, but it's it really comes down to talking to your accountant. If you need that tax write-off, again, with these tax changes, this could be a totally different conversation next year. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest tax write-offs people have is their interest on their mortgage. Now it's capped at $10,000 and property taxes at whatever. That could change in 6 months. But if people just don't want the debt, they don't want to worry about it, they may have their finances structured somewhere else where they get an equal or greater tax write-off, and they don't need the mortgage. The equity out of the house is phenomenal. No mortgage, sell your house, 100% equity.
Yeah, you know, one of them is heavy, planning to invest heavily in the stock market now that it doesn't have a mortgage to pay. And right. I guess that might be a strategy.
Could be an opportunity, but that's risky, as we all know. Your mortgage isn't risky. You get your tax write-off depending on the situation and talking to your CPA. If people like to gamble, obviously the cash flow gets a little better once you pay off your mortgage.
What are the rules how would I become a renter? Let's say, are mortgages restrictive in terms of saying, yeah, you have to live in that place after you buy it, you can't rent it out and find something? Like if I wanted to become a landlord.
Sure.
Is that possible?
There's a little small print in the mortgage that you sign saying it will be an owner-occupied property. I can't tell you how many people buy a house, and they kind of build that inventory of rental properties. Mm-hmm. You can also go the other way, where you can buy investment property. A little higher down payment, it's 25% down. A little higher on the rate as well. So anything that's not your vanilla mortgage has a little bump in it through Fannie Mae and the interest rates. But if you were to take your home and go somewhere else and rent it, technically, you're not supposed to, but it's done.
Lines are open at Associated Bank. John, I'm sure you'd love to hear from people.
Absolutely. Associated Bank is there and ready. And what you also, real quick as well, credit is key.
Yep.
People need to keep an eye on their credit. You could be ready to buy a house. You could be ready to go and realize you don't have the credit to do it. So, again, it's repeating, but get back to your lender. One thing else real quick, rate hikes just don't affect your mortgage. They affect your credit cards. They could affect your car loan if you're going to refinance. They could affect your homeowner's insurance, your home equity. So thinking of rates, a lot of people gravitate right to mortgage, but there's a lot of other implications that could have an issue if they go down.
Good conversation as always, John.
Good to see you, man. Take care.
See you next time. Bye. John Horton, Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank, specializing in construction loans, jumbo mortgages, and refinancing. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com. Just head over to the Opening Bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz, and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership for more on our thought leaders.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. On the heels of its $500 million sale of the LA Times, Tronc announced it's launching a new digital arm called Tribune Interactive. Tronc said the group will work to launch, invest in, and acquire digital businesses. And Chicago startup Prepared Health, whose app helps multiple healthcare providers communicate and coordinate care around a patient, announced it's expanding to its hometown, Chicago. It was previously only fully live in Philadelphia. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Three former DNA Chicago Info Chicago editors have announced that they're launching Block Club Chicago. That's going to be a nonprofit news site covering the city's neighborhood. Their move comes just 3 months after the hyperlocal news site was abruptly shut down. We're happy to join with us this morning, Seamus Toomey. He's going to be the editor-in-chief, and he's one of the co-founders of Block Club Chicago. Seamus, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, congratulations. This seems like a pretty cool deal. I think a lot of people are missing DNA Info, and you and your fellow colleagues there. Tell us what you're up to.
Yes, it's been a very exciting couple days since we revealed what we're planning on doing. basically what we're we grabbed a bunch of the reporters that used to work at DNA Info, you know, as many as frankly as we think we can afford at the beginning, and our plan is to in April to relaunch a site. We're calling it Block Club Chicago. We're going to cover the neighborhoods of Chicago on a hyper local level, basically sticking a reporter in a neighborhood and having her just cover everything that moves there, community board meetings, local school councils, goofy people, new coffee shops, whatever, you know, just the sort of the stories that make up just average life and normal, extraordinary life in Chicago's neighborhoods.
And you're doing it, going about it in an interesting way. You've got a Kickstarter going. I know you had an initial goal of something like 25,000, and you're already up to 115, I think, this morning. Talk to me about the uniqueness of that, sort of going into the grassroots and the crowd to fund all of this.
The response on the Kickstarter, frankly, has been phenomenal. We are completely overwhelmed by the support that just the outpouring of support from Chicago. You know, it says a lot, I think, about how much people really liked and trusted DNA Info. And, you know, we'd heard a lot of that when we closed about how, you know, just how sad it was. But also, you know, we heard from a lot of people, geez, you know, if you had just asked us to pay a little bit, you know, we found value in this, you know, why not have not done a subscription model? So, you know, we put our heads together after we were shut down, and we said, perhaps there is a way to do this where, you know, we're going to have to be smaller. We're going to have to be maybe a little smarter this time, just in terms of how big we can get. But, you know, let's go back and ask people, say, hey, you know, did you find value in this? How about paying $4.99 a month, you know, for access to the site? You know, after, you know, you hit a couple, you read a couple stories a month, you know, you might hit that paywall, but hopefully people will have subscribed by then. And we threw up a Kickstarter just to kind of get the ball rolling, help with the announcement, and just the money that started pouring in. We put it up at 6 a.m. Just 2 days ago on Tuesday. And, you know, it was funny, the first $25 that came in, and like, after like a minute or so, I was really excited about that. But like, hey, look, someone's going to do it.
Right.
And then a couple, you know, a couple hours later, we were nearing our ultimate goal of 25,000. So now we're just trying to keep it going. We told folks if we hit 100,000, we would hire another reporter. So we're going to do that. You know, the real model is, Steve, frankly, it's the subscriptions. We're just gonna push those, and if we can, you know, get enough of those and make and become sustainable, then I think we could be around for a while.
And the model of that would be what you would have, because I think a lot of us are used to going and having a couple of free samples every once in a while, and then we hit the paywall. Will you guys be paywall from the very beginning, or how will that roll out?
What I anticipate is probably, you know, in the first bit, everything could be available for people to see, just to get people reacquainted with what we do, and, you know, let them see if it's worth it for them. But yes, I think what we'd probably do is would be like a metered paywall, where, you know, if you come in, the first couple ones are free. That sort of helps from the social media. If you spot something on Twitter or Facebook that you find interesting, you're not going to ram into the paywall right off the bat. But, you know, the more you use it, and again, hopefully if people find value, they'll agree that they'll you know, sign up for, you know, for $4.99 and keep it going. We're also, you know, we're a nonprofit, so we're going to go out to some of the foundations that support journalism and community journalism, and see if they want to collaborate on, you know, specific neighborhoods or adding extended coverage, that sort of thing. So we've got, you know, we've got a couple different goals for revenue to, you know, to really pay a good salary for these reporters, so they can do what they're good at.
It was a wonderful statement on journalism after DNA Info closed down and you started this, that we saw responses from the major newspapers, editors and reporters and journalists all over the city and all over the country, really sort of rallying behind the idea of hyper-local news, giving you guys all the props that you deserve for what you did at DNA Info. Has it shown that what you did sort of drove the bigger guys to do better as well?
we always like to think that, obviously, you know, have the more competition, we always talk about it in journalism, really helps, you know, helps tell more stories, but it also keeps everyone on their toes. Exactly. You know, you can't hold a, you know, you can't sit on a story or say, oh, I'm going to do this 3 months from now. You know, who knows, DNA Info or Block Club Chicago now may beat us to it. We better get moving. So yes, it was very heartwarming to see some of the leaders around town reaching out to us. Edwin Eisendrath over at the Sun-Times congratulated us. Chris Fusco, I've heard from Mark Conkle at the Chicago Reader, formerly of DNA Info. People all around town have been saying good luck, and we need something like this, and that really is heartwarming.
Chicago, at its heart, is a city of neighborhoods, and we all, I think, missing the stories about each of our neighborhoods. So the model going forward is going to be sort of like DNA Info, where we will see that cool coverage of the places where we live?
That's right. You know, with a lot of the same names you may recognize, depending on your neighborhood, we're going to just, you know, the reporters, most of them live in the neighborhoods they cover, which is helpful because, you know, everything you see, if it's interesting to you, turns into a story. And that's sort of our model, is like, let's try not to bore people. Let's find the interesting stories out there, shine a little light on some of the things that that people may not know about. But yes, I mean, we're going to hit as many neighborhoods as we can. We don't want to spread out too wide right off the bat and dilute sort of the hyper-local coverage that people come to expect. But we are, the tone is going to be is similar to DNA Info. We're, you know, nonpartisan. We're trying to be right down the middle. And we're going to just try to keep doing that, because really that's really what people told us that they liked about us, was that, you know, that we dug up stories that other people weren't doing.
And so again, you're looking for a launch sometime this spring.
Yeah, we're teaming with a company named Civil, that they are a blockchain based company, and they're hoping to launch their platform nationwide in April, with a couple other newsrooms around the country doing other things. There's a features website out in Los Angeles. There's an investigative site out in New York. But we're hoping for all of us to be up and running sometime in April.
Well, Seamus, best of luck to you and your team, and we can't wait to see Black Club Chicago.
Steve, I appreciate it so much. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Seamus Toomey, the editor-in-chief and co-founder of Block Club Chicago. And you can find more information. Follow them on Twitter would be the first good place to go, at Block Club Chi, C-H-I. And there's a link there to the Kickstarter, and we're going to link that out in our story this morning as well. Block Club Chicago, coming in April to Chicago.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures pointing toward opening losses later on Wall Street, down 67 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The wheat market at the Chicago Board of Trade showed a lot of life yesterday as the nearby Chicago wheat futures jumped 3%, hitting a four-month high on worries about dry conditions threatening yield prospects in the southern U.S. plains. Corn futures up on strong export demand for U.S. supplies. Soybean futures declining after a choppy session. But as we look at those closing prices at the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, the March wheat contract ended up 14¾ cents, March corn up a penny and a half, and March soybeans down 2¼ cents a bushel. Now, let's take a look at the livestock story yesterday at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Funds and supply worries extended the hog futures losses yesterday. Hogs on Wednesday finished lower for a second straight day following another round of fund liquidation. February lean hogs, which will expire on the 14th of February, pressured by lower cash hog prices. February hogs ended down 90 cents, and most active April finished down $2.20 a hundredweight. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Market Desk Outlook for Thursday. It's February 8th. It is the deadline for a new funding deal to avert a government shutdown. It appears that is likely going to happen as the House and the Senate are working on a deal. We'll see unemployment insurance weekly claims. Initial claims this morning. The primary market survey for mortgages also coming out. And the National Prayer Breakfast, traditionally attended by members of Congress and the president. Also, earnings, a big day for earnings. CVS Health Corp and Twitter among the big names out first out of the gate. Yum Brands, the parent company of KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut also reporting earnings today.